you know how to build anticipation for your upcoming product launch? Or how to turn a free community into a moneymaker? And how do you decide when the right time is to launch a paid membership? Well, you're about to find out. Welcome to the I Want to Know podcast. My guests today are Melanie Marcel and Kathleen Hall. They have those questions and I am excited to answer them. Melanie and Kathleen run Dive the Americas, a boutique ocean travel company that specializes in scuba diving travel experiences in Latin America. They have what also may be known as like the most fun job on the planet, it seems. Their mission is simple: to inspire a love for the ocean and contribute to its protection through dive-focused travel. They have more than two decades of combined experience in travel planning and live locally in Mexico and Costa Rica. They are joining me today from Costa Rica. I expected them to be joining from underwater, but apparently not. Hey, ladies, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, I am excited to talk to you, and not only because it gave me an excuse to go to your website and see amazing photos of the ocean and make me want to go on vacation. But anyway, oh God, I literally was going to say this, and I didn't mean it as a pun, but I'm going to say let's dive into it, which is really terrible. So anyway, let's get into it. What's the first thing you want to know?
We launched our business about 2 years ago, and we've been focusing on custom trips. So like bespoke trips for families and couples and everything in Latin America. And we're changing our business a little bit this year. So our biggest question is what we should be doing to kind of keep that momentum going.
Okay, cool. So tell me a little bit about, when you say group trips, tell me a little bit about what that is and how it compares to what you were doing before.
Yeah. So before it was more like custom tailored to a family or a couple or whomever wants to travel to Costa Rica or anywhere in Latin America. They come to us with what they want and we put that trip together for them. We wanted to kind of get a little bit more involved and more of
I think we want to connect with the
next. Yeah. I was going to say connect the word I'm looking for. We wanted a different way to connect with our clients. And so we thought of launching group trips where we go and lead the trips somewhere that we know and we love, with providers that we have great relationships with, so that we can bring the travelers to have like just as great experiences with us, not just us sending them.
Creating a sense of community is important. And the group trips do have a purpose, each of them. So we're doing like a women's trip. We're doing, you know, we want a trip for people that have 1,000 dives and up. We want a trip for people that are new to diving. So they all kind of have a purpose that goes along with them.
Cool. And do you anticipate on these group trips that the people that will go, does it tend to be individuals or sort of like a couple friends will go and be part of the group? Like, whereas before, I assume if it was a family or a group of friends, they were going together. Does this, do you think on the group trip, is it going to be sort of individuals going, or is there going to be, they're going to go with?
I think diving in general, the concept of a dive buddy. So I do think we're going to get a lot of couples, whether it be friends or like romantic couples or whatever, but I think we'll also get individual.
Okay. And then is one, and this is a sort of oversimplistic way to put it, but in some ways, what you were selling before, everything you're selling is an experience to a degree. So it used to be that people were paying you guys, hiring you guys to sort of curate an experience for them. They would go have that experience on their own. And these group trips are basically, it's an experience that they're having with you and with a grouping that will include some people that they don't know. You're still selling a sort of travel dive experience, but a different version of that experience, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you pivoting only to group trips, or you're still doing the other one? This is just an additional offer.
It's an additional
offer.
Okay. So let me start with sort of a couple things to think about in terms of anticipation for a launch, and both specifically for what you guys are doing, but I also think for anybody that's launching anything, a lot of this is true, right? So the first one is to understand that no one anticipates a launch except for the person doing the launch. They anticipate what they're going to get from the launch, the result, the benefit, the whatever. So I think that's, in some ways it's obvious, but I think it's important to sort of remind yourself that you're not just sort of building anticipation for this day when this thing is available and they can buy it or this new product is released. What you're actually building is anticipation for the ability to get what that's going to give them, the result of that thing. And that's what you're trying to build anticipation for, not just, hey, this is the day that, you know, so if you think about, even if it was like a restaurant, let's say, right? it's not just about, hey, it's grand opening day. It's after that day, everything changes. And there's this new opportunity that you have. So you're really hyping that opportunity. It just so happens that that day is the moment that it happens. And the other thing for you guys to understand, especially with travel, is that ultimately, that's what you want them excited for. So it's not like, just like with a restaurant, right? It's not just about, well, they have to come on opening day. Maybe they can't come on opening day, but I want them just as excited to come a month later when they can come, or all that kind of stuff. So it's not an all or nothing. Even if you have a specific trip that you're doing and it's okay, they missed that one, you're also sowing the seeds for interest down the road in future trips. The other thing I would say about anticipation is there is no anticipation without awareness. So the first step to that anticipation is making sure that everyone knows both that this is coming, what it is. They have a clear understanding of how this is different from other things. So a big part of your anticipation plan is actually an awareness plan, right? And with awareness, repetition is super important. I've talked about this before where it's like, I have a newsletter, I have a podcast, I talk about it all the time. And 30% of my audience still probably doesn't know that it exists. Like, I'll literally do a poll on Twitter and be like, I have a newsletter. And 15% of people will be like, no, I didn't know you had a newsletter, which is mind boggling to me because it's all I talk about. So no matter how much you guys think you're talking about it and hyping it up and trying to build anticipation, I guarantee you a large part of even your most dedicated audience still doesn't know, still doesn't get it. Maybe they know you have something coming up, but they assume it's just like something else. So there's no such thing as sort of too much promotion talking about it. And I'm going to get into sort of how to do that in a second, so you don't feel like you're just beating people over the head with buy this trip. Repetition and awareness. So one of the ways to do that that I think is really helpful is you want to create a narrative around this, right? You want to create a story that is, why is this happening, right? And that's why in the beginning, I was asking you a little bit about sort of to get a little more sense of kind of where it's coming from and what it is, that people will connect to that story. It's not like you just randomly decided to do a product, right? And in doing this, you had to figure out a lot of stuff. There's a whole narrative behind the sort of making of this and the leading into it that you want to be telling that story. And it's a different way to do this repetition and to build awareness beyond just, hey, we're promoting this thing, this new product that we have. And this is going to be a sort of random example, but he's really a master at it. I don't know, have you guys ever listened to Howard Stern much at all?
Not much.
Okay. So Howard, and he's not the only one, but he's a perfect example. So he is a master at building narrative around events, things that he's going to do in the show, does it all the time, right? So whatever, and sometimes it's just a bit, it's a segment, it's a guest. A recent one was he was going to have Bruce Springsteen on the show. So what he does is he creates this whole narrative leading into that, that promotes the Bruce Springsteen appearance. That's not just Bruce is going to be here. So he has all this different stuff happening, right? He'll have arguments over what song should we ask Bruce to play? People are calling in. They're saying this song. Part of his crew are different, like musical experts or super fans. What questions should I ask him? So there's this whole ongoing thing beyond just, hey, Bruce is coming on the show. And the other thing that he did, and again, he does it with all sorts of stuff. Like he had a bit years ago, which is a perfect example. This guy on the show who was like out of shape or whatever claimed he could do 50 push-ups or whatever it was in a minute. And they're like, there's no way you can do that. And it became like this little simple thing, which was like, can this out of shape staff member do 50 push-ups? Became this show bit. But what made it big, whereas a lot of people would just be like, okay, tomorrow we're going to see if he can do 50 push-ups. Literally for a month leading into it. They're like, we're going to give you a month to train. We're going to whatever. And they built all this narrative around it. So for example, you had staff members placing bets. I think he can do it. I think he can't do it. Whatever they're going to bet, right? And all of this is promoting and building anticipation to that lead up. They were placing bets. They picked a judge to determine whether or not he actually did it. So which member of the crew is going to be the judge, and can that guy be trusted, and he can't be trusted. And the guy that, you know, like all this sort of back and forth stuff. They did interviews leading up to it, right? How's the training going? You seem really confident that you can do it. All this kind of stuff. They brought on a gym as a sponsor. So they said, this guy's training at Bally's gym for the push-up. Like really smart. And you can see how when you take this thing, all the narratives that you can build and these stories that you're telling leading into it can be really interesting. They even did it further where it's ultimately there was controversy about whether he did real push-ups or they weren't good push-ups. So it went on forever, right? Even after the fact. But for you guys, you can easily see how there's a lot of stories in putting this together, right? The story of we're meeting with this person from this restaurant that we're going to go to there, or this person signed up and what's their story and why are they doing this and what are they looking for? And so looking for ways to create narratives that are going to be interesting to your audience while at the same time sort of building anticipation for this thing. And it can make any launch feel so much bigger. People with the launch of anything, people pick up off of your cues. So if you're talking about it, not just in an exciting and a salesy way, but in a, this is the biggest thing ever. And I'm not saying to lie about it, but it's a tone and a perspective. I remember in the early days of my newsletter, when I had maybe a few hundred or a couple thousand subscribers or whatever it is, I might ask a question in my newsletter and maybe two or three people would reply. But in that next issue, I would say I was blown away by the response that I got. I wouldn't say it was three people. The person reading it, who has no idea how many subscribers I have, how many whatever, and I was being genuine, like I got great responses. I was blown away by the three people that responded. It was very nice and it was cool and whatever. But understanding that the way people interpret the anticipation in a launch, they have no information other than what you put out there. So you talking about it in that way and being excited and this is like amazing and oh, we had a conversation with this person about it and they're so excited and this is going to make everyone else feel like this is a big thing. They're going to anticipate it because you're anticipating it. And so that narrative helps to do that. The other thing too is within that narrative, I think including a sort of bigger picture story, right? That this trip is more than just a trip, that it's a life-changing or a memorable life event. And I think in doing that in your messaging, you can also play to people's emotions. That the idea is, do you want to be the kind of person that does X? Here's your chance, right? And it can weave into everything, right? It's a new year, right? So it's, did you set a New Year's resolution this year to say yes more often, to be more adventurous, to do X, Y, and Z? Well, here's your opportunity. And by the way, that's something you can do for anything throughout the year, right? It could be the midpoint of the year and it could be like, your first half of the year suck. Things have not been going the way, here's your chance for a restart. And understanding, playing into that emotional stuff and playing into the sort of aspirational version of, I want to be this kind of person, and connecting what you're selling to that. This kind of person does this thing, goes on this trip, says yes, invests in themselves. But there's a million ways that you can go with that, but understanding that going a level deeper than just the, hey, this is a cool trip and buy this trip because it's going to be cool and you love to dive and whatever, to actually get to sort of their identity and that emotional piece. And then also as people are buying, like that's a step in that direction, like playing that up, right? Playing up the excitement that people, that both you guys have and that people maybe who have bought or signed up, what does that feel like when they're on the other side? Maybe someone buys and you check in with them a couple of weeks later and you go, hey, I'm just curious, like getting excited, buying new gear, thinking about this, and then sharing those stories to show people, you think about almost like a before and after, and that not just of the trip, but of the purchase, right? That once you purchase, you actually, I'm exaggerating a bit here, but in some ways that this purchase changes you. Right. And all you have to do is get that credit card out and reserve your thing. And now everything changes. Now you have something to look forward to. And now you're excited. And now you're planning. And now you're part of this group that's going to go. Mm-hmm. And all those things that people want beyond just, oh, I want to take a cool trip. So all of that can build anticipation. And when I think, again, at your core, that's part of why you're doing this, right? This is different than just someone planning a vacation. If that everything I just said totally aligns with what you guys are trying to do and sell. So one more thing I got for you here. So I've got five ways to build anticipation for an event. The first one is you want to do the obvious stuff. So share the planning, the creating of the product you're offering, testimonials from previous buyers or people who have done it, experienced it, essentially tell a compelling making of story. I know that seems obvious, yet most people don't do it. They're just talking about, hey, here's the features of the product. Here's the whatever. Tell that narrative. The second one is highlight the run-up moments, right? So for you guys with this group trip, there are milestones that are going to happen for everyone in the lead up to the event. And you want to highlight those, right? Buying tickets or booking the trip is a milestone. Taking time off work, booking travel. Every event is a journey. And the journey actually starts before the event. So help people make the most of that journey and take it with them, as opposed to it just being this one thing, asking for time off work or putting in your time off. That's a thing, right? Like this is, you want people to feel like as we're getting close to it, like this is happening. Like there's this buildup and there's all these milestones. And you want people who are thinking of buying to sort of see that and go, well, not only do I get to go on the trip, I get to have that experience of having this thing on my calendar that I'm looking forward to or whatever it may be. The third way to build anticipation for an event is to create a mini community among buyers and attendees. So once someone commits to attend, or let's say books this trip in this case, you can invite them to join a community, a Facebook group, a something where they can connect with the other participants before the event even happens. And it's really interesting because if you do that, it makes the purchase more than just an event purchase, or in this case, a trip purchase. It makes this an access pass into additional value in a community. So people that are maybe on the edge are going, oh, look at these people that are in there connecting with each other. I'm going to make friends even before I go, which also is probably going to make the experience itself much better because they've been chatting with this person in Facebook about what to buy and what they're packing and all of that kind of stuff. The fourth way to build anticipation is get in front of other people's audiences, but not just to promote your event. So this is where having that story and sharing your narrative, your expertise on podcasts and newsletters, whatever it is, really good. Not just your event pitch. You're not just going on and saying, oh, we've got this new trip, but maybe you go on some travel podcast or diving podcast or whatever it is, and you're telling the story again that you now have because you've thought about your narrative. This is why we're doing this. This is why it's different. This is what we've learned. This is what we found much more compelling. And then the fifth thing here is, and this is in all your promotion, and this is kind of a good thing to think about in general, not just when you're trying to build anticipation, but play to people's senses and all their senses. And what I mean by that is when you're sharing content, promotion, whatever, try to touch on as many senses as possible. So show people what they'll see. Talk about what the food will taste like. Share if there's a soundtrack to the event or a playlist or this is what we listen to when we're out on the ocean or whatever it is. Show them what the location will look like. And obviously for you guys, you have beautiful locations and all that stuff. And so you're already doing some of that. The more people can feel what an event will be like, the more likely they'll want to attend. And you can do this through your testimonials as well, right? When you get testimonials from people or you talk to people, it's one thing for them to go, oh, this was a great trip. It was beautiful. The restaurants were great. Dive a little deeper and go, I did it again. Dive a little deeper. Okay. Dive a little deeper and let them talk about, you could ask someone, you've gone scuba diving all over the world. What did this ocean feel like? Like use words like feel and get them going, oh, it felt unlike any place I've ever dove before. What did it look like? Oh, I saw stuff that was different, more colorful than I ever saw before. Like really try to, in your own copy and promotion and in the testimonials you get from other people, get people to experience that stuff, right? The difference between the food was great and this was the single best fish taco I ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Different, right? Different levels of excitement. So if you do those five things, it's almost impossible not to see an increase in anticipation for your event. Cool. All right. Check the box. We're moving on to question two. What is your next question?
Question two is how to monetize a Facebook group with over 100,000 that we have.
First of all, congratulations, because that's quite an accomplishment. So tell me about the group that you have.
So we have a Facebook group called Costa Rica Travel Tip. So there's a lot of people that are planning trips to Costa Rica in there. And yeah, I mean, it's a free group, so everybody kind of shares their best tips. But we're not really doing anything to monetize it other than saying, hey, we plan travel, so reach out to us.
How did it grow? That's a big audience. How are people finding it?
So it's actually one of our salesperson, Vanessa, she started the group. What year are we in? 2024? I think she started it maybe 7 years ago, just like for fun because she had moved to Costa Rica and wanted to help people, you know, and since we brought her on, it has given us access to the group. And so now we've been trying to figure out how we can monetize it, but also keep a space that is, you know, we only allow advertising on Sundays. So we go by that rule too. We only advertise on Sundays, and that allows for all businesses in Costa Rica, small, big, what have you, to advertise.
It grew organically, like
400, 500 users a day. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Do people know you guys within the group? Are you, do they know you're the group owners? Are you perceived as experts, or are you just sort of members of the group?
So we are admins. It says we're group experts. We could probably answer more questions than we, but we're fairly busy running the business.
Minor detail. Do you find that people sort of come and go, like they're planning a trip and so they go in there and then they have their trip and then they're done? Or is it really like the same people?
I would say a lot of it,
people tend to stay in the
people
group.
Tend to stay and, you know, okay. about their incredible experience or talk about their terrible experience with XYZ. People posting a lot, even though they've traveled years ago.
Okay. What do you think the value is that people get out of the group?
Information, finding providers, finding ideas for trips without using a travel agent. That happens quite often.
And so if you were to think about it from, I always think about value as transformation. People are at point A and they want to get to point B. So would the transformation be that they are, is most of it people that are traveling there and they're trying to figure out, point A is they're trying to figure out what to do, where to go, et cetera. And point B is they figured it out because they got good recommendations from the group.
Yeah, I think people are going into it not knowing or being overwhelmed by the amount of information out there, narrow it down. But what I see happening is people are like, oh, I'm coming for 7 days. What do I do? And then they get 200 comments of 200 people's experiences. And so they'll either take that and take the time to go and research everything and create their own trip, or they'll be like, all right,
I'm extra overwhelmed now. Yeah,
exactly. And what about, are there many people in the group that live in Costa Rica, or is it mostly people outside of Costa Rica that travel there?
Yeah, there's people that live there. There's expats that live there, and there's also businesses that are in the group. So if somebody says, hey, I just need a transfer from X destination to wherever, that sometimes those businesses will say, hey, I have a van. I do.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Do you have, so in terms of monetizing, do you have any particular ways that you're thinking of monetizing, or you just feel like you have an asset and have no idea? You're like, it seems like there should be a way to monetize this, but is there anything you've been thinking about?
I don't think we want to like charge businesses to advertise. I don't think that's something that.
Okay. So I've got a few suggestions for you, a few things to think about. So, and this is related to monetizing, but honestly, even if you're not monetizing, you should absolutely do this. So you want to get as many people in that group on an email list as possible. Are you currently doing anything? I'm guessing you're not, right? Okay. That would be my number one goal, right? Because if you get even 1%, even if you get 1,000 people from that group on an email list, that's a really valuable resource for a variety of different reasons. So one of the easiest ways to do this, so you can obviously for your existing members, you can promote it in there and you can figure out ways. Do you guys have a newsletter at all for your business? Okay. So you can do, I don't know if you've ever promoted in there, but you can just at a base level, whatever. But the other thing you should do is when people join the group, do you have them answer any questions?
Yeah.
Okay. One of those questions should be, and I don't know how you use your newsletter or whatever. You can, that's a whole sort of separate conversation and you can sort of think through that. But one of those questions should be, we have a free blah, blah, blah newsletter. Do you want it? Make it compelling. So it's not like a business thing. Maybe it's used. Everybody who knows me knows I'm not a big fan of lead magnets, but in this case, it could work. So it could be, do you want our guide to the 10 must see whatever in Costa Rica? Make it something they're going to want. Let them put their email address in there and you are going to get a significant, you said you're adding like 400 a day or something insane. A significant number of those people are going to sign up right there. Now, you will have to do it a little manually, which is a pain in the ass. You can get an intern or get an assistant, someone to do that and just add them to your list. But so right off the bat, you're now growing your email list. So from a monetization standpoint, once they're on an email list, you're able to reach them more consistently. You're able to develop stronger connection to them. You're able to monetize in a variety of other ways, including sponsorship, maybe in the email. Obviously selling your products is just super, it's just the best connection you can have to them. So that is, I do that. I have a Facebook group called Newsletter Creators. And for a long time now, I've had one of those questions is, I have a newsletter where I share tips to grow your audience and whatever, do you want it? And I would say, I haven't looked recently, but I would guess that 30 to 40% of people that join the group sign up. And, but for you guys, even if you got, if you have 400 a day coming into the group, and even if you got 10% of them, you're adding 40 email subscribers a day. And so thinking about that, and you could even, by the way, you might even, again, you can think through how you want to do this, but you might even set up a separate newsletter that is the group newsletter, right? They're signing up because they want, I forget what you called it, like Costa Rica travel tips or whatever. Do you want the Costa Rica travel tips newsletter? And you can figure out, it doesn't have to be a ton of additional work. You can schedule stuff and automate it. That's a whole other sort of conversation. But I think you're sitting on a massive opportunity there to use this to build your email list, which then creates all sorts of different monetization opportunities. So with that aside, I want to give you four things to consider if you want to monetize a free community. So the first is, you have 100,000 members of this group. So the first question to think about is, do you want to monetize 100,000 members or do you want to monetize 100 of them? And what I mean by this is, don't assume that going the higher number route will automatically generate more revenue, because a lot of times a high-end product aimed at a select portion of the group may perform better. So thinking through what that is and going, it's very different between going, I want to monetize as many people in this group as possible. And maybe that's selling ads that reach them. Maybe that's a low price product that reaches them, versus going, out of this 100,000 people in this group, I know there are 100 people that would buy my high end product or whatever it is. I want to go after that. I want to find 100 people that are going to pay me $10,000 as opposed to trying to get $10 out of 1,000 people or whatever it is, right? So that can inform your approach to monetization. The second thing to consider if you want to monetize a free community is, you got to find who are the buyers within the group, right? So let's be honest, they're not all going to be buyers, right? And you want to figure out ways to surface likely buyers, speak to them, and get a sense of what they need. One easy way to do this is with a variety of questions that you maybe post within the group. So for example, if what you have to sell are trips, diving trips, a question, who here has gone diving in Costa Rica before? You're getting hand raisers. The people that are replying, they don't realize they're saying, hey, I'm a potential dive buyer. And it will be a smaller percentage of the group, but it's a way to surface those buyers. If it's, let's say, even if it's not something you sell, but it's for another brand or company or sponsor or whatever, questions like, whose favorite food to eat in Costa Rica is Mexican? Me, right? So it's amazing what you can do without sort of promoting to sort of get those people. And then, so for example, you could, if you were working with someone that had, or let's just say you guys, right? So you're selling diving trips. You can then go individually to those people and spend your time doing that as opposed to talking to everyone. But you can go the 30 people that replied that they loved diving in Costa Rica. You can now spark in quote unquote individual conversations with them. What did you love about it? Have you ever gone here? What did you, et cetera. So you're surfacing likely buyers and investing your time there. The third thing you can do or should consider to do if you want to monetize a free community is, think about who would want to reach the group's members. I know you've done this a little bit, but you know, what brands or people or organizations would pay to get their attention, and how much is that worth to them? And this doesn't have to be advertising within the group. It could be a variety of things, right? It could be referrals, could be affiliate fees. It could be, maybe there's things that they want to know research wise, but it starts with, okay, we've got all these people in here. Who wants to reach them and what's it worth to them? You guys do dive trips. There's other people that do other specialized travel, hiking trips or whatever. There's a partnership. Hey guys, we have this group. We've done this to sell our dive trips. We can do the same thing for you. If you want, we can do a question about who loves hiking in Costa Rica. And so there's getting creative and thinking about what you can do and other people in other niches that create other ways for you to monetize the group. And then fourth thing to consider if you want to monetize a free community, is there a premium group or community that could be created within the free group? So basically, is there a sub niche within the group that makes sense that members might want to pay to access? Maybe it's where higher level conversations or collaborations are happening. Maybe it's additional access to you or others. So you have this Costa Rica travel tips group. Maybe there's a paid Costa Rica divers group. Maybe there's a paid Costa Rica businesses where they can collaborate with each other and do cross promotions and say, anyone that goes to my restaurant gets a discount on your hotel or whatever it is. Thinking that through and going, if we were to carve out a sort of mini paid group within this, what would make sense to do? Because there's opportunities for that. And also, if you crack one of those, it's possible you could crack multiple of them. It's possible that there's a paid restaurant owners of Costa Rica group where they're connecting and swapping tips. And then there's a paid whatever adventure travel group, and there's a paid family business owner, whatever it is, right? Events for kids group. But thinking through, what could that be? And are those people interested in enough to pay? If I'm a restaurant owner in Costa Rica, is it worth it for me to pay X amount a month to have access to other restaurant owners? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but you would know by talking to people. But my guess is, especially in a group of that size, there are sub niches in there that could be interesting, right? Maybe there's divers that want a group where they can only talk with other high level divers about Costa Rica. I don't know, maybe. So yeah, those four things, deciding whether you want to monetize the whole group or a select part of it, figuring out who the buyers are within the group, figuring out who else would want to pay to reach the group members, and then is there a sub niche or a premium group that could be created within it? Those are the four things I would think about if you're interested in monetizing a free group. Questions? And by the way, don't feel like you need to do all or any of that. It's funny, like when I do this, I'm like, here's a bunch of ideas. And I think sometimes people are like, oh my God, how am I going to do all this? Just pick one thing. Like of everything we talk about today, if you do nothing but come away and go, we're going to start trying to get emails out of that group, home run. Like could be.
Yeah. Get emails, start a niche newsletter, and then have the businesses in the group sponsor the newsletter or whatever. I think that's really different than having them advertise in the Facebook.
Totally agree. And by the way, you could newsletters, it's such a catch-all, right? So you could, for example, do the Costa Rica newsletter, Costa Rica restaurant newsletter for people that are interested in food in Costa Rica, which would be locals and travel people. And literally the newsletter each week could be like, we showcase one restaurant and have a sponsored restaurant. And you could write it a year in advance and schedule it and be like, that's it. And just sell the ad, like really simple. And if that worked, you go, okay, that's the restaurant one. Now let's go do a bar one or shopping one, stores, whatever it is. So a lot of, you have in some ways, the asset you have is the hard part. You have all these people, which now enables you to launch almost anything you want. And you guys, your company can also sponsor all of these things, right? So maybe there's two sponsors and every time it's you guys and whoever the other sponsor is. Cool. Okay. So let's get to your third question. What is the last thing you want to know?
Third question was, so we've been talking about launching a membership again, just want to create this community. Not sure when appropriate time is to launch a membership.
Okay. When you say membership, paid membership?
Yes.
Okay. Paid membership, and essentially, because everyone uses these words differently, but what you really mean, when you say membership, you mean sort of paid community, right? Where people can, maybe you guys are giving some exclusive content, maybe not, but it's really about the community, I'm guessing.
So divers in Latin America would be like the specific community I'm trying to build.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. So why are you thinking you might want to do that?
We have seen it done before, I think, situations like where travelers want to talk about their trip. I mean, this is our Facebook group. We're hoping to make it dive specific and be a good idea. Like if people could pay a membership, they would get these insider tips and more of an idea that we had than.
Yeah, like access to like agents, like Mel and I are like what we do. And we spend so much time with the business side of things that's not always selling travel, which is what we love to do. And I think we would want to control gather those itineraries for members of the group if we decided that to do it that way too.
Okay. And I'm assuming paid because also this would be a revenue stream for you guys. I assume that's at least partially why you're thinking about it. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Do either of you belong to any paid memberships or paid communities?
I do. Actually, I do.
It's a paid community? Okay. So what is the, so I'll ask, so one of you belongs to one of you doesn't. So perfect. So I'll ask you both. So what do you find value about it? Why is, and have you been a paid member of it for a while?
a couple months.
Yeah. Do you find it valuable?
I do. I mean, I only joined it because I was really desperate.
And is the value you're getting out of it, I'm guessing the other community members, it's not like it's an experts group and you're getting are you paying for access to an expert or access to a community?
I would say both.
Both.
The group is an expert. And then it's helpful to the community of other people who were in it. Yeah.
And so one thing I would say is if you're going to, and this is again true of any product, but if you're going to launch a paid membership and you are a member, you are paying for one, really think about, and maybe even write down, this is why I joined. This is why I was willing to get my credit card out and join this thing. This is what I hope to get out of it. This is what I am getting out of it. This is what I'm finding valuable. This is what I don't find valuable or find annoying, right? Or find not worth it or whatever. Because you're doing it now, it gives you a sense of, in my niche, these are the things that I want. These are the reasons why I bought. These are whatever. So it'll sort of help you give a picture of what your paid membership might be. On the other side, you're not paying for any memberships. I'm sure you've seen a million things that are like, join my community, join blah, 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 blah. Think through why you have it. What made you with things that you're interested in or maybe problems you're trying to solve or whatever. I'm sure you've come across stuff and you've probably even had times where you're like, oh, maybe I would do that. Think through why you have it and jot those down so that if you decide to create something, you have all that sort of firsthand, these are the reasons people don't do it. These are the reasons I did do it. This is what I like about it. All of that kind of stuff, which you can then apply to your, and make sure that you're creating something that at least aligns with what you guys have wanted or not wanted or all of that stuff. The other thing I would say is if you're thinking about launching a paid membership community, don't do it. Until you check these four boxes. So the first one is, if you're going to launch it, there should be a clear goal that community members want to accomplish and a clear way the membership will help them do so. So a trap a lot of people fall into is, we're interested in this. Lots of people are interested in this. We have a community for people who are interested in this. The community is much more likely to be successful, especially if you want it to be paid, if there's a thing they're trying to accomplish. This community is going to help you accomplish this thing. That's why you're paying for it. If it's just general interest and you want people to talk about stuff with, probably could be a free community,
yeah.
Right? So paid, that's the difference, right? There's a goal. And it could be one goal, it could be multiple goals, but there's a clear thing. You want to accomplish this. That's why you're going to join this community, just like any product, right? People are going to pay for things because they want a result. So think through what that would be. It shouldn't just be a place to hang out with others who have a shared interest. The second thing that you want to make sure if you're going to launch a paid membership community is potential community members have told you that they want one. There's no reason to launch a membership on a hunch. Go find out if people want it before you go to the trouble of launching it. Identify people that would be a perfect fit for this thing and don't get bogged down in the money initially. If this existed, would you want to be a part of it? And see what they say. What would you want to get out of it? And this can be a handful of sort of one-on-one conversations with people. You can do a survey or whatever, but it's more helpful to sort of talk to, identify people that you're like, this is the perfect person. And maybe it's people that have booked trips with you. I'm sure there's people that you're like, this would be the kind of person we would want in this membership. Go talk to them. See if they care. See what they would want, what they wouldn't care about, et cetera. And then after you get that from them, go, okay, well, what if it was paid? Would you still want it? Because they might go, oh yeah, I'd like all those things, but I'm not paying. You know, I don't want it enough to pay for it. So do some research so you don't have to. And this is especially true because a membership and a community in particular only works if the members in the community are engaged in it and excited about it. It's not like a product where, okay, you spend all the time up front creating it, they buy it, and that's it. For a membership to work, they need to really want to be a part of it on an ongoing basis. They need to be really excited, not just sort of curious. The third box you want to check is there should be a specific reason for it to be a paid community instead of a free reason. And that reason shouldn't just be that you want to make money. So thinking about, because there could be a lot of value in you guys doing exactly what you're talking about as a free membership, right? It might lead to more clients for you and all that kind of stuff. If it's going to be a paid membership, you want to think through, why is this a paid? Why am I doing this as a paid membership? Maybe it's because you want a certain level of people in it. You want a certain level of commitment in it. There are good reasons beyond just sort of you want to make money. Maybe in order to justify time that you're going to put into membership and community, it needs to be paid, right? That, yeah, if it was free, it might work, but we don't have the time to do that. So maybe it's a way for people who book your trips to have a continuing thing that goes beyond that, right? Maybe it's an upsell. Maybe, oh, if you buy a trip and you join the membership, you get a discount on the trip or a discount on the mem. We throw in the membership if you book a trip or whatever. So thinking through like why it's paid instead of free. And then the fourth box you want to check is ideally you test a micro version of the membership or the community with ideal members before you actually open it up to everyone. So those initial members, which can be by invite only, you could go, we're going to identify 20 people that would be like the core of this group. And we're going to go to them and say, hey, we haven't announced this yet, but we're setting up this like private membership community. We'd love people like you to be in it. We think you'd be great. We're hand selecting these people, blah, 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 blah. Are you interested? And what will happen is, number one, before you go too far down the road, if two of those 20 people are interested, not a great sign, right? Because you've identified the perfect people and they don't really want it. So it allows you to test the idea a bit before going too far down the road. The other thing is, so not only will it provide proof of concept, they're also going to establish the sort of community norms and the way the community operates, which is really important. When you open it up to a larger audience and new members come in, they're going to mimic the behaviors of the initial members. So if you open it wide to everybody at first, who knows who comes in? And those first people are like defined, those first members are sort of defining the way the community operates. And if it's the wrong people doing the wrong stuff, the right people are like, this isn't for me. Whereas if they come in and they go, oh my God, these are the kind of things that get talked about in here. And this is the way this community functions, really, really powerful. And you also might find, again, depending what you do, you might find that maybe you never open it wide. Maybe it's always by invitation only. There's an exclusivity to it that can be interesting. So there's no one right or wrong way to do it. But I do think that if you're going to launch a paid membership, those four things, there's a clear goal that the community is going to help people accomplish. Potential community members have told you they want one. There's a specific reason for it to be paid instead of free. And you've tested a micro version of it and sort of gotten it off on the right track. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for these questions. They gave me an excuse to talk about a bunch of stuff I have not talked about before. I also have to tell you, as I was giving the suggestions about the Facebook group stuff, the whole time, my newsletter creators Facebook group has a few thousand members in it, and I don't pay much attention to it. And the whole time, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, I'm giving them all these suggestions. Meanwhile, I am doing the email one though. So I am using it. That I am at least doing and has worked really well. But yeah, I was like, this is making me feel bad about myself, but I'm glad they'll have success. Yeah. Yeah. See, exactly. Play into my, be the person you want to be. So let people know where they can learn more about your stuff and see amazing pictures of the stuff that you guys do and join you guys under the sea.
We are Dive the America on Instagram, Dive the Americas, Facebook. We're all over the place.
There's a trend or a theme here. Look at you guys with the consistency. Very impressive. Cool. Thank you guys. For more of my stuff, my newsletter for theinterested.com/subscribe. If you'd like to come on this show and ask me three questions, you can go to joshspector.com/questions. My skill sessions are amazing. I am biased, but they are amazing. Go to joshspector.com/sessions. And yeah, I think that's about it. Thanks everyone for listening and watching. Thank you guys for coming on, and I will see everyone next time.